This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and maybe not such a great day for people who want to see us proceed to a positive election where people on both sides believe that they're getting fair treatment and there's competition and a choice and a meaningful choice between two qualified candidates. There is this headline in the New York Times just breaking today. Six Colorado voters filed a lawsuit. Colorado lawsuit seeks to keep Trump off ballot. And the lead in the article by Maggie Astor says six Colorado voters filed a lawsuit yesterday seeking to keep former President Trump off the state's ballots under the 14th Amendment, which says anyone who engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution after taking an oath to defend it as is ineligible to hold office. Okay, I've mentioned to you before, I think this is a terrible means to try to disqualify Trump. The whole idea of trying to take someone off the ballot because you don't approve of his leadership is not a healthy American instinct. And somebody who I know agrees with me, because I've read his excellent piece on this subject, is Andy McCarthy, a best-selling author, contributing editor at National Review, and a former chief assistant U.S. attorney, a distinguished prosecutor. So what is it about this new attempt, which is spreading around the country, to try to state by state take Trump off the ballot, to not even allow him to appear on the ballot? What is the proper response, it seems to me, by people who love the Constitution to this concern?
Well, Michael, I think you're right. I think it's a two-edged answer. One is that it's a very poor interpretation of constitutional law, and secondly, it's a very bad idea in terms of social cohesion in the country. Donald Trump, if he wants to run, let him run, and he'll be defeated, but he ought to be defeated the way our politics works in America, which is at the ballot box. He could have been the way to impeach or the way to disqualify someone properly under the Constitution, under the circumstances of Mr. Trump, is to impeach and get him convicted in the Senate and disqualify him. The political system did not deliver that, and thereby the only other way to get him out is to, if he wins the nomination, is to defeat him at the ballot box. But I think legally, the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, to me, as I read it, just as a matter of originalism and textualism, it doesn't even apply to the president. It would be very peculiar that the drafters of the 14th Amendment not only listed senators and members of the House of Representatives, but electors for president and vice president as offices that could be disqualified for participating in an insurrection, yet somehow forgot to mention the president and the vice president. So I think if that amendment was supposed to apply to the president and the vice president, the people who drafted it and adopted it would have said so. But I also think it's quite obvious that this was not an insurrection as a matter of law. And the most important thing to me is if it were, insurrection's a crime. The Biden Justice Department and Jack Smith, the special counsel, spent 3 years, or the better part of 3 years, investigating the Capitol riot and the events around it. Smith has brought an indictment against Trump, but it doesn't have an insurrection charge. Insurrection's a crime under the federal penal code. So I think if you want to apply this, then let Jack Smith indict him if he can make a case, which I don't think he can, and then get him convicted by a jury, and then maybe we have something to talk about. You actually have someone who's convicted of insurrection. But to do it this way and go to a Democrat, you know, a partisan Democrat elected Secretary of State, have a bunch of progressives go and ask the Democrats to keep Trump off the ballot, to me is just you're asking for a powder keg of a situation to explode in this country.
Well, it's and it, again, you make, I think, the most powerful point there is, which is that anyone who is looking at the record of Jack Smith, if there was the basis for a prosecution of Trump under the insurrection law, of course he would have followed it. What is it about the insurrection law that excludes President Trump's behavior? In other words, what's the key element that you think makes him unworthy of applying this Section 3 of the 14th Amendment?
Well, I believe when the 14th Amendment was adopted, what the framers had in mind was what Lincoln used to talk about in connection with insurrection, which is something like the Civil War, not a three-hour riot at the Capitol where not a single member of the security forces is killed, and it's so little damage that Congress was able to reconvene a few hours later. And I'm not, as you know, Michael, from our prior conversations about this, I don't carry a brief for the rioters, and I'm perfectly comfortable with the I don't know about 22 years, but I'm perfectly comfortable with harsh sentences being meted out to people who assaulted police officers and the like. But I don't, you know, in saying something was a riot, I think that's pretty appalling. We don't have to turn it into an insurrection, which it really wasn't. And the proof is in the pudding here. The Justice Department has prosecuted 1,100 people in connection with this. They have never charged anyone with insurrection. And they've not only never charged Trump with a violent crime, because I think they know they couldn't prove that. They have taken the position in those 1,100 cases that he's not an unindicted co-conspirator of the people who committed violence. And they have objected when people have tried to shift the blame, when defendants have tried to shift the blame to Trump for their own violent actions. So if the Justice Department were to pivot now and say, you know, on second thought, Trump led an insurrection, that would open a can of worms with respect to these other 1,100 cases that they, you know, hundreds of cases they have done where they've taken the position that Trump wasn't involved in the violence. So I just think they're dug in at this point.
Wasn't, I believe it was General Flynn, and I think John Eastman, some of Trump's close advisors in his trying to discredit the 2020 election, who had this idea that they could invoke the Insurrection Act to get the president to seize voting machines. And that went absolutely nowhere. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, because Trump thought it was an insane idea. Now, just to be fair to Eastman, I don't think I know that General Flynn was involved in that conversation, as I think was Sidney Powell. I don't think Eastman had any participation in that. But the White House counsel were also involved, and everybody, even Trump, recognized that that was a lunatic idea and moved away from it. And the other thing, Michael, is no matter whether you think this was tongue-in-cheek or not, and I think, you know, I know a number of people say that. I'm not saying that's not a fair interpretation of the evidence. But Trump did say peacefully march. And if you're going to prove a crime in
peacefully
court,
and patriotically, I believe.
Right. But the point is you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the guy intended a violent, forcible attack on the Capitol. And how you would prove that when he's on his feet saying peaceful is just, and I say that as somebody who has tried a seditious conspiracy case and an incitement case. I just don't know how you would prove beyond a reasonable doubt what you'd have to prove.
Okay, if you can hang on, there is breaking news, big breaking news about Hunter Biden, everybody's favorite. We will get to that with veteran prosecutor, brilliant legal analyst Andy McCarthy coming up.
public resignation from the New York Times exposing bias and anti-Semitism shook the nation. She is the author of The Twitter Files, which exposed the orchestrated bias against conservatives in social media. On Friday, October 13th, join featured speaker Barry Weiss at Washington Policy Center's annual dinner. WPC is your voice for market-based reforms. It exposed the new so-called excise tax on capital gains as an income tax, no matter what officials call it. And while the governor and cap-and-trade advocates promised minimal to no impact on gas prices, WPC warned it would raise the tax you pay on gas by approximately 45 cents a gallon. And WPC research showed the encroachment of critical race theory in Washington's classrooms. WPC provides the insight and analysis you need to stay informed and to act. Subscribe to WPC's free weekly newsletter and support improving our state with free market principles. October 13th in Bellevue at the Hyatt Regency. Ticket and sponsorship details at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
And on the Michael Medved Show, a few precious minutes more with Andy McCarthy of National Review and of the Justice Department at one time. He was a former chief assistant U.S. attorney in New York. And part of the breaking news today is the House Oversight Committee has revealed that during the time of the Obama administration, as vice president, Joe Biden not only discussed with his son Hunter the Biden family business of cashing in on Joe's political influence with corrupt foreign actors and anti-American regimes, He also approved talking points proposed by Eric Schwerin, who was Hunter's then business partner and the Biden family money manager, for the United States to use in addressing questions about Hunter's membership on the board of Burisma. Now, all of this is going on at a time when they're convening a grand jury to try to secure an indictment on gun charges by Hunter Biden because he lied on his application for a legal firearm. But Andy McCarthy, if they convene a grand jury, grand juries don't have to focus like a laser beam. They can kind of wander around and find other bases for charging Hunter Biden, can't they?
Well, they can only they can certainly ask the prosecutor to expand the investigation, but they tend to vote on the charges that are proposed to them by the United States attorney. And here, Michael, I would say, you know, time's a wasting because the gun charge we're talking about happened, the offense happened in October of 2018. So part of the reason there's urgency here is that the court asked for a status report of what's going on, knowing that the statute of limitations is going to expire at the end of this month. I'm not convinced that Weiss is being honest. I'm not, you know, if he really was going to indict Hunter Biden, why talk about it? Why not just do it? It's the easiest criminal case in history. It's, you know, it's an open and shut case. The guy wrote a book saying he was out of his mind on cocaine while, you know, during this period of time. And, it's about a one paragraph indictment. So why not just go into the grand jury and indict it rather than talk about, you know, in 2 weeks we might indict it. And I just think you're dealing with a prosecutor who spent 5 years making this case disappear by not charging it.
Well, and meanwhile, there's this irony that we were speaking about during the break, which is that all of a sudden you have a lot of Second Amendment enthusiasts who might be sympathetic to the prosecution of Hunter Biden on these gun charges, because basically for people who want to view the Second Amendment right as broadly as you possibly can, the idea of punishing someone with a 10-year term because he got a gun while filling out a false application, that's something that, like, people who are very enthusiastic about Second Amendment fundamentals, they may not go for that, right?
Well, that's right. And there's also developments in the appellate courts that Hunter could exploit. I'm sure part of the reason that the Biden Justice Department does not want to prosecute Hunter Biden, the president's son, on a gun offense is not only the embarrassment of that, given what Biden's rhetoric about guns has been over the years, but the fact that Hunter would have to avail himself of whatever constitutional defenses are at hand in a case like that. So you'd have the situation of Hunter Biden challenging the constitutionality of the federal gun laws, which I don't think will sit well with the administration. So there's a lot of reasons why they don't want to go forward with this case. And obviously that's why we're down to the, after 5 years, we're down to the very end of the statute of limitations.
What about the talk about articles of impeachment against Joe Biden? You think that's a good idea?
Well, I think whether it's a good idea or not, I imagine that you're going to get at least an investigation, and usually those investigations do lead to articles of impeachment. Although I would point out that the Republicans have a very thin margin in the House, and I'm not completely convinced that they have the numbers to return articles of impeachment. We have to see how the evidence shakes out. But there's no way you'd get them convicted in the Senate. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of people, I think, sensibly asking, what are we doing this for? Not that he doesn't deserve it, but, you know, as a practical matter, you can't get him, you know, convicted and removed. Plus, you have the impeachment insurance in Kamala Harris. I mean, they're not going to want her. You know, they don't want to impeach him and end up with her. So it's a lot of theater. I don't know if it'll amount to much.
Yeah, it's really very weird because that was, of course, the biggest argument, it seems to me, against both the impeachments of President Trump, is he obviously wasn't going to be convicted and removed from office. They would have had to get more than a dozen Republican votes to remove him from office, which is not going to happen. And that's clearly the case when the Democrats have 51 sitting senators. You would need somehow to get 16 Democrats to pardon me. You would have to get 17 Democrats to join the Republicans in order to have Biden remove from office, right?
Yeah, but I think what's going on here is, the Democrats wanted to hang the scarlet eye letter on Trump, just like it was hung on Bill Clinton for political reasons, even though they knew they couldn't remove him. And I think here, Trump has a lot of influence over a faction of the House Republicans, and he's going to be looking at upwards of, 3 civil trials, 4 criminal trials. He's going to try to push them into making sure there's a parallel impeachment proceeding against Biden at the same time his criminal proceedings are going on. So I think that's what we're dealing with. Again, theater.
What's the best outcome for the country?
That these two guys retire. Who wouldn't sign off on today, if they both go away, no more talk of impeachment, no more indictments, no more trials, just go away, have a government pension or whatever, play golf, and let's, move on with new actors, because I don't know how much more of this the country can take. Some of it is amusing for us to laugh at, but I really think that the difference in how people are treated by the justice system is something that's really bringing discredit to a system that we have to preserve the vibrancy of. And I really do worry about that. It's pretty serious business.
Yes, it is. You can read a serious perspective on that serious business by checking out Andy McCarthy's latest columns, which are linked at our website at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back with more on The Proud Boys coming up.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The grand jury in former President Trump's federal election case is meeting. CNN reports jurors were spotted at the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. The grand jury was last seen meeting a week after handing up the indictment against Trump for his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Fentanyl and methamphetamine are in the air and on surfaces of mass transit buses and trains. University of Washington researchers studied mass transit in the Seattle and Portland areas. Marissa Baker with the University of Washington says they took multiple air and surface samples.
Of those 78 air samples, 20 of them, which is a quarter, had detectable fentanyl. and all of them had detectable methamphetamine.
New York City's Mayor Eric Adams says the White House needs to step in or the immigration crisis will destroy his hometown. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Breaking news, Peter Navarro, who was the trade advisor to President Donald J. Trump, I don't believe that he has endorsed President Trump's new idea of putting on a 10% tariff, in effect a 10% tax on anything imported to the United States from anywhere. In any event, Peter Navarro was convicted today of two counts of criminal contempt of Congress over his defiance of a subpoena from the House Select Committee that was investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The verdict, coming after nearly 4 hours of deliberation in federal district court in Washington, made Mr. Navarro the second top advisor of Mr. Trump's to be found guilty of contempt for defying the committee's inquiry. Stephen K. Bannon, a former strategist for Mr. Trump who was convicted of the same offense last summer, faces 4 months in prison and is appealing his conviction, as Mr. Navarro has also vowed to do. Now, you may remember something about Stephen Bannon being pardoned by Trump. He was. That was another offense. That was for a phony fundraising scheme from a group called We Build the Wall. It was a private group that was going to build the border wall that President Trump never built. Well, the private group didn't build it at all. They just took $25 million of contributions and spent it on themselves. He was pardoned for that. But I don't think, I just think he's still facing his contempt difficulty, and Mr. Navarro is. It says in the New York Times, Mr. Navarro stood to the side of his lawyer's table, as he has for the duration of the trial, stroking his chin as the verdict was read aloud. Each count carries a maximum of 1 year in prison and a fine of up to $100,000. Now, that, of course, doesn't include the legal bills, which I assume Navarro is getting some help with. A hearing to determine his sentence was scheduled for January. Now, just great. What's bizarre about this is that there is a Fifth Amendment. Why, if he is being asked to testify before the House Select Committee on the January 6th riots, and there is material that you do not want to share, you can say, I choose not to answer on the grounds that it may incriminate me. It's the Fifth Amendment. What is the deal of ruining your life because you won't testify about something you might know about planning for what ended up being a really very, very ugly and disgraceful scene? Speaking of ugly and disgraceful scenes, there is a great deal of pressure going on about trying to keep the DeSantis campaign alive, and part of this isn't going particularly well for Governor DeSantis. It seems to me that he makes a big mistake here. This is clip three, Jeremy, when he is on with Eric Bolling on Newsmax, and Governor DeSantis talks about the Proud Boys and attacking their long sentences and floating the idea of pardons for the Proud Boys. Listen, this is clip three.
As a president, would President Ron DeSantis commute or pardon those guys?
We will look at all those cases. I mean, so there's some examples of people that should not have been prosecuted. They just walked into the Capitol. If they were BLM, they would not have been prosecuted. Then there's other examples of people that probably did commit misconduct. They may have been violent. But to say it's an act of terrorism when it was basically a protest that devolved into a riot, to do excessive sentences, you can look at, okay, maybe they were guilty, but 22 years, if other people that did other things got 6 months. So I think we need a single standard of justice. And so we'll use pardons and commutations as appropriate to ensure that everyone's treated equally. And as we know, a lot of people with the BLM riots, they didn't get prosecuted at all.
Okay. This idea that no one got prosecuted for the BLM riots, the prosecutions were far more numerous because there was far more numerous involvement by thousands of people in the BLM riots. And I believe that they've prosecuted, it's now over 4,000 people on different BLM charges. The difference is it's mostly because it's not the federal capital. They're mostly state charges, not federal charges. Because there's not a federal violation if you're attacking a local business or a local neighborhood in the BLM riots, as people did. There's also this exchange during a conference about crime, a news conference that DeSantis held in Florida, with a black audience member who went back and forth about the mass shooting that occurred in Jacksonville, race-based mass shooting. This is an exchange with Governor DeSantis that I think is not the kind of thing that makes him look particularly strong. This is clip eight.
Allow weapons to go to the street and immature, hateful people that have caused the deaths of murder of
Trayvon Martin was not the first.
So first of all, I did not allow anything with that. Well, listen, excuse me. I'm not going to let you accuse me of committing criminal activity. I am not going to take that. I am not going to take that. So you should, you want to have a civil conversation, that's one thing. Try to say that I'm letting, that guy was Baker acting. He should have been ruled ineligible, but they didn't involuntarily commit him, and so they weren't. No, there is the truth. There is something about the truth. It's not everyone doesn't have their own truth. No. You don't get to come here and blame me for some madman. That is not appropriate. And I'm not going to accept it.
Yeah. You have allowed people to hunt people like me.
Oh, that is nonsense. That is such nonsense. We've done more to support law enforcement in this state than anybody in throughout the United States. Our crime rate in Florida is at a 50-year low. We have enacted policies so that people have a chance to live in safety. We have attracted people to come to this state in large part because we've had a commitment to public safety. So the notion that somehow we're not supportive of safety is absurd.
Okay, again, clearly a supportive audience for Governor DeSantis. And, of course, this brings up one of, I am sure, literally dozens of times recently that Governor DeSantis has wondered, what am I doing? What's going on with this race for the presidency that was supposed to go so well? It's been a tough sledding for Governor DeSantis, and there is the report on by the New Hampshire polling that all of a sudden in New Hampshire he has been passed for second place, with Donald Trump still having a strong lead by Nikki Haley. The latest from her campaign. And she says she doesn't really expect to be running against Joe Biden. Then what? We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVet Show.
You know how the line to the song goes, it's summertime and the living is easy. Well, it's not so easy, it's active. I mean, people try to get moving when it's summertime, which is why aches and pains really need to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with them that I've ever found is through Relief Factor. Take it every day. It really does help you feel better and move more easily. And it's entirely natural. It's extraordinarily good for you. Go to michaelmedved.com. You can get Relief Factor with what they call a quick start, remarkably inexpensively. It's really a very special deal. And then you will probably become as regular a user as I am and millions of others. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start to make the most of your summer. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 $1,000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
The Michael Medved Show, just 2 days left for the 50% off Labor Day week sale. This is the very end of Labor Day week. So you have today and tomorrow to pick through the 13 most popular lectures, talks that I've given over the years. And you'll hear some of them, some fairly aggressive interchanges between me and audience members as well. The topics include confronting media lies about sex and marriage, myths and truths about the U.S. Constitution, Hollywood's delusions about itself, the media grudge against Israel, why media and academia tilt to the left, and victory lessons from Ronald Reagan. Now, all of that is available. Total, it's over 15 hours of audio, and you can buy at a special price, half price. It's slightly under, 1 cent under, $200. Or any of these CDs, audio CDs, are available for just $15. So check it out at michaelmedved.com or go to medvedhistorystore.com and hope you will take advantage of the remaining few hours of this sale at medvedhistorystore.com. Okay, speaking of the history store, Mike Pence made some history yesterday. He appeared at St. Anselm College, and there's excerpts from his speech that have run as an op-ed today in the Wall Street Journal. And the point that Mike Pence is making, it seems to me, is tremendously important and certainly something that everyone ought to take seriously. He's talking about a time for choosing. And he selected that title because that was the speech called A Time for Choosing in October of 1964 that made Ronald Reagan a viable candidate for governor just 2 years later, when he ran for governor of California and won in a landslide. The time for choosing was Reagan's speech in behalf of Goldwater. This is Mike Pence's speech in behalf of traditional conservatism as opposed to populism. This is Mike Pence delivering his time for choosing speech, clip 7.
The growing faction would substitute our faith in limited government and traditional values with an agenda stitched together by little else than personal grievances and performative outrage. Republican populists would blatantly erode our constitutional norms. A leading candidate for the Republican nomination last year called for the, quote, termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. The truth is, the Republican Party did not begin on a golden escalator in 2015, long before that day it was forged and defended and defined as the conservative party in America. I mean, the truth is, Donald Trump, along with his imitators, often sound like an echo of the progressives they seek to replace.
And the part of the idea about populism that Vice President Pence touched on, but I think deserves more attention, is the notion of populism has always been tied in with paranoia, conspiracy theories, and basically indicating to people that they are powerless and they need governmental political interference or assistance in order to protect themselves from these malevolent forces that are supposed to be basically harming the country. And the lines that Pence uses in his speech that also appeared in the Wall Street Journal, he writes, he says, Republican voters face an important choice next year. It will determine both the fate of our party and the course of our nation. Will we be the party of conservatism, or will we follow the siren song of populism unmoored to conservative principles? The divide between these two factions is unbridgeable. Conservatives like me believe that man's rights come from God and nature, not from the state. Like our founders, we know the imperfect nature of men and women, and that granting them unlimited power imperils liberty. That is why we have a brilliant system of checks and balances, divisions of authority, co-equal branches of government, and sovereign state governments. Conservatives understand that to advance an agenda on behalf of the American people, we must work through this system. For decades, conservatism's ideological rival has been liberalism. But today, another strain of this ideology challenges conservatism from within and for control of the Republican Party. The populist movements have long been part of America's politics. They have most often been led by Democrats and leftists, such as William Jennings Bryan, Huey Long, and Bernie Sanders. But a populist movement is now rising in the Republican Party. This growing faction would substitute our faith in limited government and traditional values for an agenda stitched together by personal grievances and performative outrage. And then he makes, I think, one of the most important points here. He says, Republican populists would abandon American leadership on the world stage, embracing a posture of appeasement in the face of rising threats to freedom. And yes, that is a real problem. And Chris Christie, of course, also speaks to some of the problems within the Republican Party. And he talks about his belief that Trump is secretly sick to his stomach over the latest flip by someone involved, a worker at Mar-a-Lago who was identified as Trump employee number 4 in a court filing, who has struck a deal to talk to federal prosecutors about what he saw about hiding documents. This is a Chris Christie's comment, clip 13.
How might he be feeling about this right now?
Well, two things will happen. One, this man will be vilified, attacked, and savaged by Donald Trump publicly. And then secondly, Donald Trump will lay in his bed at night staring up at the ceiling, trying to remember every conversation he ever had with this guy while he's sick to his stomach. Mm. And this is going to repeat itself, Dana, over and over and over again over the course of the next number of months. It's going to repeat itself in Georgia when some of those co-defendants invariably are going to take a plea and a cooperation deal and will cooperate against Donald Trump. And it may happen again in this matter, in the federal matters that are pending, with folks who are either indicted or unindicted co-conspirators. And so, you know, this is what the Republican Party is facing. Drip, drip, drip on the guy who is the front runner, which is why he cannot be the nominee. And if he is the nominee, he will not beat Joe Biden.
And then he says very quickly, this with Eric Bolling on Newsmax, clip one.
I feel bad for Donald. I really do. You know, he's on there saying that I'm not very smart, that I'm very deranged. Look, he didn't think that, Eric, in 2018 when he offered me White House Chief of Staff. He didn't think that in 2016 when he made me chairman of his transition. He didn't think that in 2017 when he made me chairman of his opioid commission. He didn't think that when he offered me director or secretary of Homeland Security twice and secretary of labor. I disagree with the things that Donald Trump did in the 2020 election. I disagree with the way he's conducted himself after the fact. I think it's bad for the country. I think it's beneath the office he held. But when he says stuff like that about somebody who supported him in 2016, prepared him for the debates with Hillary Clinton, supported him in 2020, and prepared him for the debates with Joe Biden, if I was so useless and dumb and deranged, how did all that stuff happen? It's sad. He's under a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, and saying these things makes me really concerned for his mental health.
Speaking of mental health, there are revelations about the soul-stirring songs chosen by various presidential candidates. We will get to those revelations and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Discover Tuscany in California at Allegretto Vineyard Resort by Ayers. Located halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, Allegretto Vineyard Resort is nestled in the heart of Paso Robles wine country and evokes the character and charm of an Italian estate. Voted as one of the best wine country hotels by USA Today, indulge in memorable experiences as you tilt back a glass of award-winning Allegretto wines. Savor locally farmed and foraged cuisine at Cello Restaurante and Bar, while enjoying soothing spa treatments from the boutique Spa Allegretto. Experience the handcrafted joy today, with rates starting at $209 per night, Sunday through Thursday stays throughout the month of August. Use promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. Book your Tuscan-inspired getaway today with promo code COOK at AllegrettoResort.com. A-L-L-E-G-R-E-T-T-O Resort.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.